where strategy gaming meets good vibes. No stress, just critical moves. Welcome back to Critical Moves Podcast. My name is Al, and today we are going to be talking about the franchises that we would like to see as strategy games. I'll just start by saying happy Thanksgiving to all of our American listeners. And also Joe's with us today. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
What is Thanksgiving? Because we don't know about that in the UK.
So in America, it has become an excuse to overeat, take naps, watch football. But originally what we're celebrating is, you know, people coming to this country and not knowing how to feed themselves, and the kindness of strangers saved them, and then we repaid it by eventually taking their land and killing many of them through disease, mostly, but lots of things.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Absolutely. And we're also joined by Nuno today.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
Very good. Very good. Joe, why don't you kick us off with the first franchise that you think would make an exceptional strategy game?
Okay, so I have a couple picks, actually. I have three ones, but I'm going to go... I have two of them are kind of... the kind of fandoms that are, if you know fandoms, where you either, you know it and you love it and you're obsessed with it, or you've never heard of it and you're like, what are you talking about, dude? So the first of those I'm going to give you is Bobaverse. Bobaverse is a...
never heard of it. What are you talking about, dude?
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So there you go. You're one of them. You're one of those guys. You haven't heard of Thanksgiving or Bobaverse?
No.
So they're a pretty popular book series about an IT tech guy that dies. He's an engineer slash tech. And he dies, but he had just uploaded his consciousness to a mainframe just in case he dies. And then he does die. And he gets brought back by religious fundamentalists. And they want him to, like, run an AI von Neumann probe that they will use to try to find a new place for them to go and survive, because the Earth is basically dying, and climate change type stuff. And that's what happens in the books. And then he goes out and starts exploring and taking over the galaxy. I don't want to give too many spoilers, but within the first hour, the humans destroy themselves. And so he is maybe or maybe not left by himself. And I thought that would be a great way to start a game. You start the game as an AI, as you, the player, inside a ship. And you go to your first galaxy or star, I meant to say. And then when you get there, you have to explore and see what's there. And you can... start building defenses just in case you run in, because I thought the whole galaxy could be randomly created and you never know what's going to be there. Is there going to be other AIs from other nations on Earth that you run into? Is there going to be big bads like the animals from War of the Worlds or something? Who knows what you're going to run into? So you have to decide what to do. Are you going to build more bobs to help you? And I thought it might be a cool wrinkle if you don't control those bobs. You sort of give them marching orders, but then they go do their own thing. So you might tell the bob, stay here and make more bobs, and then you leave, and that bob might just not listen. That happens in the books. It should happen in the game. So that bob could just go do its own thing, and maybe you have to come back, or maybe you have to try to get the bobs in line. Maybe there's a bob civil war. Maybe you go out and find life and protect life. Maybe you run into a galaxy-eating big bad. You never know. And I just thought that might be a cool strategy game. Sort of in the Stellaris vein, but different. It's a 4X.
So are you talking about quite a sandbox experience then, rather than anything narrative?
I think there would be initial narrative, but once you're given free rein, it becomes sandboxy. I like the idea of, after a certain amount of time, maybe a pre-scripted big bad emerges. I don't know if we would have it random or if it would be picked from a set that you design, but, you know, there has to be some tension. So I think we would want to build in a big bad somewhere. But other than that, and the big bad, maybe there's one where a Bob Civil War happens eventually. That would be fun. And you end up fighting against the AIs that you created, trying to take back your land. And you could develop technology depending on how many Bob resources you allocated towards that. What do we think?
No.
I sold you yet?
Are you buying that game?
Yeah, I'm just imagining it going a lot like Stellaris, but you're the expert here. You're the one who has like 3,000 hours in Stellaris, so I think you're already imagining a mod for it.
It definitely sound very, very Stellaris. It definitely has those kind of vibes, very open galaxy sandbox. When you talk about creating additional bobs, they're almost like vassals, which you could section off parts of your empire in Stellaris and release them as autonomous empires of their own.
Yes, but I see them
that
as
sort of thing with additional bobs.
Yes, absolutely, but I see them as being way more dynamic than a Stellaris vassal. Oftentimes, I feel like the Stellaris vassal or protectorate AIs just sort of sit there and build ships, or, you know, they don't really do anything. I would imagine the bobs in this game I'm creating are going to be very dynamic.
When you're creating a bob, you're basically just spawning a new civilization, is that it? And then you would have to... This would actually be a cool idea for a strategy game, right? You could spawn your own civilizations instead of just controlling one.
So ideally,
you have to manage.
They work with you, but they certainly do sort of become their own high level operators within a civilization, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Sounds like an interesting. I'll have to read the books. There's what, 5 books now? Is that right?
There's 4, I think, and a 5th one is coming sometime soon. Right. If it hasn't already come.
Nuno, what's your first pick?
I'm gonna be disappointing a lot of people with my 2 picks, because these are really basic. So my first pick would be Game of Thrones, because I don't think it's a surprise to anyone that I believe that Game of Thrones would make an excellent Crusaders like, Age of Empires like, something like that strategy game, because like Game of Thrones, you just medieval times with some fantasy elements. So I think it'd be all the court intrigue and all the relationship between houses. It would be fantastic. And I know there's a couple of mods for both Crusaders Kings 2 and 3 that deal with this, but I would love to see a Game of Thrones game just built from the ground up, because there are a lot of mechanics that you need to incorporate that models just can't do. And I would also like to see, I hope I'm not giving Creative Assembly any more ideas, but I think a Game of Thrones Total War would also be fantastic, just for the spectacle of it.
Why haven't we seen a Game of Thrones strategy game yet? Because you're right, it would be an absolutely perfect setting.
I really don't know. That's actually a great question. I'm not sure if there's anything to do with licensing or the fact that maybe they're just companies don't think there's a lot of interest in it. But I have no idea, and I was actually surprised that the Crusader Kings mod is still alive and kicking, and no one has tried to DMCA it or take it down. So maybe lack of interest from some companies, but I wouldn't be surprised if sometime in the future we see some Game of Thrones games come along. Besides, it's an unfinished story, right? So you would have to take that into consideration. You either try to place it during the past or during the present, and leave an open-ended sort of title. So I don't know, maybe. It's weird, but I think it's a perfect game to adapt into already existing strategy medieval strategy games, so.
I think it would be fun, but don't you think that one of the things that might be holding them back is the factions would... They're so different politically, right? But on the battlefield, unless you have a dragon, aren't you all kind of samey?
I mean, they're not exactly the same, like, mostly, but like the Dothraki and the Nordmen fight very differently from one another.
And then I suppose you have the Unsullied as a particular...
Some kind of phalanx.
Type of, north of the Wall, you know, the Wild Men from north of the Wall, they would fight completely differently to the Lannisters. So there probably is some leeway in terms of some asymmetry, but I think you're right. It is going to be a very perhaps samey experience. I think there has been quite a good Total War mod for Game of Thrones as well.
Yeah, there was, but you could only, at least when I played it, like five or 6 years ago, you could only set up custom battles, so there wasn't right. like an overarching campaign, which in that case, yes, you're just like reskinning already existing factions into factions from the book series. But I mean, just the spectacle alone is fantastic. And you, Al, what would be your first pick?
My first pick is going to be H.G. Wells' War of the Worlds.
Isn't there already a War of the Worlds video game somewhere?
I was coming to that. It was released in 1998. It was an RTS, and it wasn't particularly good.
You can remember, I'm sure.
Thank you. Thanks very much. So I imagine a traditional RTS experience, but incredibly asymmetric. So you'd have the setting. The book was released in, 1898, I think it was released. So you're talking Victorian armies pre-World War I. But I imagine a human faction, which is very much stock infantry, artillery, cavalry maybe as well. Cavalry did feature 20 years after the book was published in World War I. Maybe some very primitive tanks. But the kind of thing you'd expect to see in Red Alert or one of the Command & Conquer games, with very traditional gameplay mechanics, barracks, war factories, being able to harvest resources. But then the Martian faction, entirely different. A system where you, as we know from the setting of the book and all of the movie adaptations which have happened, the Martians fire cylinders from Mars, which impact somewhere on the planet, and that's the Martian base. They don't have a traditional base building structure. They have a cylinder which is fired, and then they build their tripods, their war machines, which go out and fight. So you're thinking something which takes an awful amount of time to build, but then once they are built, they're extremely powerful. But the real asymmetry comes in with an idea I had around how the Martians get their resources, because they're not going to harvest things and spend money and pay for troops and things like that. One of the core themes of the book is the Martians drinking the blood of men, women, and children. So my idea was, if you imagine on these quite traditional RTS battlefields, you have huge numbers of civilians either hiding or fleeing, and the Martians, in order to get resources to build more war machines, have to capture humans, and that's the currency that they use, either capturing enemy troops or capturing civilians which are out on the field. And I just think that would be a really cool way to have two different factions in the same game, but which operate entirely differently.
Yeah, you'll have one offensive faction, which would be the Martians, and then a more defensive one, which would be the human. That actually reminds me of a game that already exists. It's called Terminator Dark Fate Defiance. Mm-hmm. So it released earlier this year in February. It plays similarly to that. So it's set on the Terminator universe. On the campaign, as a human, you spend most of your time just like defending the bases from the Legion AI. So it's sounding very similar to that, and it has a lot of cool mechanics that you could introduce in your in your dream game, which would be like the ability to customize your unit if you are the Legion, and if you can just like tweak a few bits here and there to make sure that you are at your most effective when you're killing other human beings. So it's a fantastic game, and when you were talking about it, it was reminding me of that. So if you never tried it, make sure you do.
You could also do where you have to choose when you build one of your weapons. Do you equip it with something that is really deadly, or something that's less deadly, maybe less powerful, but more likely to capture civilians, to leave civilians capturable? That's something you could choose. That would be an interesting choice you could make. And then maybe you could have a certain unit that you have to keep track of that specializes in going out and capturing humans, you know. And so that's part of the faction. That would be interesting.
There's a section in Jeff Wayne's musical version of War of the Worlds where he describes a squat metal spider which he witnesses pursuing some people across a field, capturing them and throwing them into a basket on its back. So you're right. We're talking about a very, very finite amount of machines that the Martians can make. So the spider, let's give it a stock name, is the one which will go out and do the majority of the capturing, but it doesn't have many of the way of defenses. So you've got to make a very strategic choice as the Martians. Do you opt for producing a machine which can go out and capture humans to keep your population alive and allow you to develop economically, or do you produce one of the traditional tripods with its heat rays, which will go out and kill the human defenders? And I also thought that with infantry, the human infantry would be almost ineffective against those tripods. But you would use them as bait because the Martians must capture humans. And you could almost have a situation where if they are not capturing people, if they're not keeping up their income in terms of food and nourishment, that they eventually die out. So they're forced to go onto the offensive, and the human faction can use the fact that they are forced to go onto the offensive to lure these tripods into fields of fire for their artillery units to take them out. And I just think it, rather than it just being a tank horde versus tank horde, it would bring in some really interesting gameplay mechanics. And I just think if somebody was to grab that, because I can't design games, but if someone was to grab that and build it, at least one person would buy it, and that's me.
it also gave me another idea, which is you could have, so as a human, you could have something like, would you put all your population in one place and risk getting destroyed like in one fell swoop, but you would have like a lot of people working together and be a lot more efficient when you're building your stuff? Or would you rather keep your guys or your civilians spread out and maybe not be as efficient, but at least you wouldn't lose your game in one go? Mm-hmm. So I think this is actually a very cool idea.
Mm-hmm. And very narrative. It's a book, you know. It's a book with a very obvious beginning, which is when the cylinders are first seen coming from Mars, and a very particular end when the Martians are defeated by the bacteria that exist on the planet. Sorry, spoiler alert for those who haven't read the book since 1898, but that's the way that it's set out. And I just think I think that narrative games are absolutely fantastic. I think it's the way that all games should be. Single-player experiences in games are overlooked, but are crucial to the success of games. And I just think that having a strong narrative campaign, because you're only talking about two factions, so you've got to add content somewhere else. You've only got these two factions. I think it would just be a really, really great experience. But anyway, let's move on.
Joe, I'm going to forgive you, but I feel like you just took a shot at Bobaverse right there. Because you said Bobaverse was sandbox and narrative is important. I forgive you.
No. I said that your idea was sandbox. Okay. Not that Bobbyverse was sandbox.
Oh, so this is a shot at me. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. So for my next idea, so I gave you the I've never heard of this. I have another I've never heard of this, but I'll give you one you've maybe heard of. I had a crazy shower idea when it came to this one. This was a G.I. Joe game. And my thought was, I don't know if you guys have ever seen this American show called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but there's a part on this show, spoilers, for season one, though, where all of a sudden, out of nowhere, everybody starts saying Hail Hydra, and Hydra almost takes over the whole world on that show. And I thought you could start a G.I. Joe game with something like that where Cobra does a coup and ends up somehow taking over the whole world, right? And really, all that's left is this little base that you're in charge of, and you make your own G.I. Joe character with abilities, almost like XCOM or that Marvel game. I can't remember what that Marvel game was. Suns?
Midnight Suns.
Yeah. Yeah. So you've got your base, and from there, you start expanding from your base, but you fight the fights like you do in XCOM and Midnight Suns, but you've got to choose where you're going from here. You can maybe even choose where your base starts. That would be fine. And then you've got to choose how you're going to attack Hydra from there. And you can free capture G.I. Or I said Hydra, I meant Cobra. You can free capture G.I. Joes. You can destroy their bases. You can expand your base. There's all these things you could do. And it would be in the same vein as an XCOM, but make it, I don't know. I like the XCOM games, but they're missing that to me, the expanding, the superhero-ness, because the G.I. Joes are all kind of like their own superheroes, right? And so I think that would be a cool game.
Is there more than one G.I. Joe? I thought he was just a guy that he was just a doll that you put different dresses on, isn't he? Oh,
I forget you pour European souls. There is
we had Action Man.
There's a ton of
Action
them.
Man.
There's a ton of G.I.
Yeah, there was Action Man, right?
Action Man, yeah. But he's I think that Action Man.
He's an European G.I. Joe, right?
He's is he not just Ken from Barbie with a plastic gun?
Look, I don't know how many Americans are going to listen to this, but they're going to be siding with me.
Not many after you slated Thanksgiving right at the start.
They know the truth. But they're...
They all turned off after a minute. They all, nope, we're not listening to this anymore.
But there's a ton of G.I. Joes. Yeah, there's a ton of them. We can do this.
Yeah, so that it would make for a perfect turn-based strategy title.
Have you played Commandos?
No.
So, what about that sort of thing? I mean, I played the Commandos Origins demo as part of Steam Next Fest, and I thought it was quite good. I thought it wasn't the most original of titles. Stop saying no. Wasn't the most original of titles, but it had some interesting stealth mechanics. How would that work?
I don't think G.I. Joe is the epitome of stealth, right? It's just gun blazing.
You know, there are some G.I. Joes, I think, that use stealth, but mostly they're pretty bombastic.
Yeah.
Is there not a Frogman? I mean, would he be running in all guns blazing, or would he be swimming around and sneaking around and things?
Well, and if you remember, my idea was the player makes their own G.I. Joe at the start. And so maybe they could make a stealth-based G.I. Joe.
Mm-hmm. So they just put a different costume on their doll.
Yeah, and different abilities. Keep up, Alan.
All right. Okay.
That's basically XCOM and XCOM 2 in one. And I agree with Joe, because XCOM really is missing the expansion expansion site, because you're always getting segued away from one mission to the next, to the next, to the next, and you never know at what stage of the game you actually are. So I think that's cool, and I've always been wanting to know more about G.I. Joe, and I never actually did, so that's actually a great idea. I love that.
Okay.
And I something I had here was also Marvel, because okay, so Marvel Midnight Suns did something interesting, but it was not the kind of game I was expecting when you were talking about superheroes, because it's a sort of turn-based, card-based strategy game, and well, it's okay. I love the game. I have 100. I think it's the only game I have ever 100%ed. So I love the title, and I love the idea that you can go in between battles and then come to your base and learn more about those superheroes. But
there's a really interesting game called Capes, which is an indie title.
I'm not going there.
You don't get, why not?
They
have you tried it?
Yeah, I have. I've reviewed it. I removed the review from my website because they worked with Sweet Baby Inc. And you guys know me, so I really despised this Sweet Baby Inc. inclusion stuff they just forced down your throat. And besides, the game isn't really all that good to begin with. But that's a topic for another episode, I guess. Otherwise, we wouldn't. This episode would last for an hour and a half. So just going back to the Marvel stuff, I think like I would love to see a traditional, not a traditional RTS, but something like, I would say, Warcraft. So where you have your hero unit and then you have your average grunts. And you could micromanage each unit, and you can have like Captain America, you could have Iron Man and all that. And I think that would make for, at least for, not a fantastic game, but an interesting one. Because I love the superhero stuff, and I think we're lacking a lot of superhero stuff in strategy games. So I would love to see those two come together, and it would be an interesting title.
I guess your superhero games are, or superhero genre is more aimed towards your action games, third person, first person, that kind of thing, isn't it? They tend to be very, very character focused rather than overarching. So that's probably why we haven't seen much in the way of superhero strategy games. But anyway, moving on. Nuno, what's your next suggestion?
So my next suggestion, like, I'm gonna keep up with Joe's suggestion of having something similar to XCOM, but set it in the Star Wars universe. I know there are a lot of Star Wars games right now, and Star Wars is a horse that has been bitten to death by Disney recently. But so imagine this: you play as the Empire, right? So, and then you have your squad of elite. You either have clones or Imperial stormtroopers of elite troopers, and you just basically go around making sure the galaxy is in place, and you can build your squad of extremely competent and extremely interesting troopers. And I love stormtroopers. I have a massive collection of them, so it's the kind of thing that just tickles my brain in the right way. So you can just like have your very own squad of stormtroopers, and you can just do missions with them. Like, I don't even want something very elaborate or just something that's great. I just want to be able to build my own stormtrooper squad and then just go around in turn-based missions and put the galaxy in check, maybe destroy some rebels, maybe hire some Mandalorians here and there to help me with this, maybe do some mercenary work while we're at it as side missions. And I think it would be a great game, and I would love to see this totally disconnected from the first trilogy story. So something that would happen like on a far off corner of the universe, where you can just have like total freedom to do whatever you want, and you don't have to be concerned with what's going on the main stage. And I would love for that to come true.
I suppose Star Wars is so big, there's always room in in a story that's set in an entire galaxy to find a little corner or a little sector somewhere for your particular story, isn't there? I think that's one of the beauties of Star Wars. I think we could probably do an entire podcast about Star Wars because I think we all absolutely love it. What would your game be like when you look at games which are already out?
Oh, it's just XCOM, but instead of you having your squad, you have a squad of stormtroopers. Maybe it would a better comparison would be the Demon Hunter Warhammer 40K turn-based strategy. I don't know if you know the game, but you're basically controlling a squad of space marines. And I imagine it pretty much being like that. So you're just controlling your very own specialized squad of stormtroopers. And you just go around doing missions, destroying rebels, destroying rebel camps, just making sure your corner of the galaxy is under control.
And then you could do a DLC that, because everyone's going to be like, where's the Jedi, man? And your DLC could be a Jedi DLC where you have almost like you go around responding to what your group was doing in the base game. You have a DLC with a Jedi and a Republic and a trooper and maybe a Mandalorian, maybe a couple droids, and you're off having your adventures too, trying to fix everything that was broken in the first game.
I mean, I think we just gave EA like Game of the Year award material here.
Let's leave the Jedi out of it. They are the one part of, it's strange because they're such a incredibly important part of Star Wars, and they're the part that I like the least.
Why?
I guess I just don't like wizards. You know, you won't find me playing Hogwarts Legacy. I just don't like that whole magic thing. I know we're going off on a tangent here, but my favorite of the Star Wars series that have come out on Disney is Andor, because it's just so real, set in the Star Wars universe, but real people living real lives without this mysticism being involved. And I think that the idea for your game, where it is stormtroopers or clones or even, you know, rebels on the other side, would have real possibilities to be successful. But then I think that if you start introducing your hero units in terms of Jedi, who are quite Mary Sue, I suppose, aren't they? You know, they're undefeatable. It just ruins the setting.
I don't think so, because they would actually fit great as hero units on the game, because you could have, for example, a Jedi who's fighting 10, 15 stormtroopers at once and need to make sure you use all your abilities proper to defeat them also. I think they would make for a really cool asymmetrical kind of unit where they're super,
no,
you know, they're super
no,
powerful.
No.
And
no,
we could even steal
no,
your line,
I disagree.
Al. We could steal your line. So we have the character. The character is ambiguous, right? Is the character a Mary Sue? No. Character's not a Mary Sue. And someone goes, oh, I saw what you did there. A Jedi, finally, I love the Jedi. And they do a cut. And he just stares at him and goes, I don't want to talk about the Jedi. Walks away. And force pushes him away. So you know, this isn't a Jedi. This is just a dude who has force powers.
The Emperor's decision to kill all the Jedi was the right thing to do. And that's a hill that I will die on.
But he was a Jedi, sort
if
of.
If you think people were coming for us for what I said about Thanksgiving, wait till they hear what you say about Jedi.
Kill them all! okay. We'll move on with my next idea, which is Planet of the Apes. Now, Planet of the Apes is what, 10 movies? There's been 10 movies released as well.
I can't keep up.
Well, yeah, 10 movies. Well, I think that's probably enough. TV series as well. And there has been one video game about Planet of the Apes. So my idea is around the reboot movies. where you would have several different factions. Now, you might think Planet of the Apes is humans versus apes, but you've got chimpanzees as one faction, gorillas as another faction, orangutans as another, and then the humans, who could have multiple different factions. They could be different rebel forces that are trying to make their way in the new world.
Do you think if Ubisoft published your Planet of the Apes game, they would sell us skins for the apes? I'm sorry, I'm just laughing here thinking about it. Can you imagine just like having a golden ape or something like that, and you have to pay an extra $10 to play with it?
No, it'd be a stark white ape.
Nuno, you're a fan of Ubisoft, aren't you?
Oh, I loved Ubisoft in the same way a fly loves shit. I really do. I'm attracted to it.
Join us next week, where Nuno will talk about everything that he hates.
He did that on the remaster
episode. I'm thinking again. Say that again?
He did that on the remaster episode.
He does that all the time. anyway, staying on topic. Lots of different factions. Chimpanzees are very intelligent, technical, diplomatic. Gorillas will be much more military-based, very, very good at close quarters. Orangutans would be very into political control of different factions. I'm talking maybe grand strategy here, with the new world being the setting. And then you have these human factions which are trying to survive in this. Human factions would have technology based upon what we have now, so 2024, 2025 technology, and that would be entirely different to what the apes had. You know, I think that in a lot of the new movies, the apes are riding horses. They are often very close quarters based in terms of their combat, fighting against a modern military. And I just think it would be an interesting game to put out, and one which I think would have an automatic audience, because Planet of the Apes is actually quite a huge IP. And again, I'm surprised that we've only ever seen one Planet of the Apes game.
How long after?
Last Frontier from 2017.
How long after are you doing it?
I don't know. Immediately after, or we could start it during the fall of the modern world. So your first missions could be humans responding to the ape uprising. That's got the potential to go in there.
Maybe their technology goes down as the game goes
on. Human technology?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think in the movies there is a situation where certain things are lost. In terms of computers and things like that. But I think that when you're talking about military, you know, guns, tanks, Humvees,
yeah,
fighter jets, helicopters, they're still there, you know? So I think militarily, I think that we would still have the same units that we have now. I wouldn't like to see this become a situation where you've got apes fighting prehistoric humans. You know, I think that would change the entire premise for the game.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That would just become, yeah. Are you buying that one, Nuno?
I want what Ubisoft will, I'm sure.
What's your issue? I'm sure. What is your issue with Ubisoft?
He wants the icons over his screen, tons of missions.
Yeah. Yeah, the Golden Skin Ape DLC for $15, and I love that. Now, I don't know, I'm just not the biggest fan of Planet of the Apes, because I think I only saw one movie, and it was probably like one of the oldest ones. I was a kid when I saw it, so I can't remember a whole lot about it. But I just never found the setting all that interesting, because...
Was that the Mark Wahlberg one?
Oh, no, way older than that. I don't know if I'm...
Charlton Heston, wasn't it, in the original?
Oh, probably. It's the one where at the end you see the Statue of Liberty on the beach.
Yeah.
So I remember watching the movie and I just really don't like. I have a very awkward pet peeve, which is that I hate when animals do stuff like humans do. So anthropomorphized animals really annoy me for some reason. So I hate those kind of kids' books where you have a bear dressed up as a person. And I don't know, I just found that to be so uncanny and so gross. And I hate when I see an animal acting up like a human. That's something that messes with me on a psychological. So I'm sure Joe is already probably like profiling me as some sort of weird kind of guy.
Already did.
Yeah, but I found that trauma. So disturbing. Yeah, probably. I always found that to be so disturbing. And when I saw the movie, all I could think about was that. So when you have the apes like they're dressing up with vests and all that, I can't take that seriously because I don't know. I just really don't like the setting.
What did you think of the Mark Wahlberg new movies, Joe? You know, with your movie focus with Millennial Binge.
So the Mark Wahlberg one I think is okay. The newer Planet of the Apes movies, though, I kind of like them, actually. I didn't expect to, because when I first saw the previews, I was like, this looks really cheesy. But I liked it just fine. I will say that it was uncanny to see that ape become smart and start wearing clothes, like Nuno said, but I wasn't as bothered as Nuno.
Nuno gets triggered by the strangest little things. I've come to notice that.
It's really weird, yes. But
yes, you are something. Really weird, yes.
I don't know, I just don't like seeing animals do people's stuff. And I love animals, but they're just so...
It's so creepy. Place.
Yeah, why would you want to have... Like, why would you draw a meerkat? Driving a car. What's the point of that? Like, it's so fucking stupid. Why would you do that?
Have you not seen that movie, Planet of the Meerkats?
It's going to be a Ubisoft game.
A Ubisoft skin. You'll have the apes, the humans, and the meerkats.
Ubisoft present Planet Third of the Meerkats. Faction. Right. Does anybody have any others that they'd like to
suggest
before we go on then?
This one is crazy. And I don't even know if it's a strategy game. It's survival strategy. There's this book. This is another if you know book, if that makes sense. Right? So this is a huge game off of this book. This book is called Dungeon Crawler Carl. If you've heard of it and read it, it's an all-consuming fandom that you can't get enough of. If you've never heard of it, you think it sounds like the silliest thing you've ever heard of. So, anyways, the book series
it's definitely a, what are you talking about, dude?
Exactly. There you go. So the book is about, humans that get caught on an alien reality show and have to survive a video game like experience. And so I thought it would be really cool to make an MMO survival game just like the books. So people could sign up, they could buy the game, and in this book series, you have to make it through a dungeon, and it's 18 levels, but it's not, they call it the dungeon, but it's really just 18 different adventures, right? And so for this MMO game, you start, everybody who signs up for the first season starts on level 1, you guys all play it on your own, you've got 10 days to beat the first level, and then level 2 is where you start running into other players, and you can team up with other players, but they can also kill you. It's full PvP, and when you die, you die. You're out. You have to wait till the next season. And then when you get to level 3, you can choose a new race. That's when you get your class finally, and all your abilities. Before, you're just sort of fighting. You might get some spells, you might get some abilities, but you don't get any set class stuff. And level 3 is where Twitch integration comes in and other people can watch you play the game just like they do on the show. And whoever makes it wins. I don't know if they could come up with prizes for who wins or something like that. But yeah, I think it would be a really cool survival strategy type game. And I think the combat would be real time, would be my guess. But there's a lot more I could get into, but that's my elevator Hail Mary quick pitch on Dungeon Crawler Crawl.
Anything from you, Nuno?
I would have to say Mass Effect. I think Mass Effect would be a really cool RTS, just because of the setting. So the game, the RPG, so the first three games actually already kind of play like a turn based. If you want, they can be played. You can control your squad and you can use their abilities, and it sort of plays like a tactical shooter of sorts. But I would love to see a mix between an RTS and a grand strategy title set in the Mass Effect universe, because there's so much to explore in this universe. And when you're playing as Commander Shepard, you just get to see a small glimpse of that universe. So like you're at the tail end of what's happening, and I think it would be a fantastic title, or a fantastic universe, I should say, to explore and have a different campaign with totally different protagonists, and maybe you might not even play as humans. I think the Krogan, I'm not sure how familiar you guys are with Mass Effect, but the Krogan are some kind of they're a very aggressive faction of,
I'm very familiar,
Gears of War. Of Gears of War looking dudes, like they're very massive aliens and they're super aggressive and they have a very tragic ending that I'm not going to spoil here for those of you who haven't played the game. And I think it would be a really interesting setting to explore the history of those civilizations that you just get to see their last moments on the RPG series. So that would be my dream Mass Effect.
I've never played any of the Mass Effect games, but I am aware of Mass Effect from Stellaris, where you can create your own races in there. And when I played Stellaris, I have used some of the fan-created factions to mm-hmm. use them as enemy factions in my games. So there's already a precedence there, isn't there? The Mass Effect universe is huge in terms of the different races, the different armies that could be there. So this could be quite an interesting grand strategy title, couldn't it? Or 4X title. But I guess the question is, how would the Mass Effect grand strategy title be any different to what we already have with Stellaris? Would it be any different?
Because if you're talking real-time strategy, it would be massively different from Stellaris, because Stellaris or Stellaris. Now, this is something you're going to have to find out about later. But I think I think it would be a cool title if you had both. So you need, whenever you're talking about Galaxy or some space opera kind of game, you really need the bigger picture, right? You need to be able to see the whole galaxy, or at least the system where you're playing at. Just make sure you get the scale of it. But I also think that there would be some space to have interesting RTS battles, and I'm imagining probably something like Company of Heroes, of maybe smaller scale here and there, because like the game was a squad, some sort of squad based shooter, and it worked fantastically. And the reason why is because each individual unit had their own ability. So maybe probably not Company of Heroes, but more akin to something like Dawn of War 2, where you control your units, and then you have some special units that have powers, and you can equip them special weapons and all that. And I think that Mass Effect would be great for that. So, for example, you could have Garrus, which is your sniper that you find. I think it's on the second game. So he would be commanding a squad of other specialist units, but he would be the one with all the powers. So you could use him as a special kind of unit, and maybe like your Krogan guy could be the one charging up ahead. This would also be really, really interesting.
Kind of like Warcraft 3, right?
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Where you have some with powers, yeah.
We mentioned something like that. So yeah, Blizzard, go make World of Warcraft 4. It's the conclusion to this episode. Go make World of Warcraft 4. It's okay. Been, what, 20 years since the last mainline title? So please, go do it. And you, Al, do you have any other title you would like to?
Nope.
No, not even Planet of the Meerkats.
I'm gonna leave it right there because you rubbished my idea for Planet of the Apes, and now I'm in full sulk mode. So we'll call it a day. And I'd like to say thanks very much for joining me today, and thanks to everybody who's listened. If you've got some ideas for franchises that you think would make great strategy games, check out criticalmovespodcast.com. where you'll find all of the links to come and speak to us on Discord, on social media. We're very interested to hear what you have to say. If you have enjoyed what you've heard, please share this episode with somebody else that you think would enjoy it. That's the best way to get the message out. So thanks, guys, for coming on. Anything you'd like to plug, Nuno?
strategyandwargaming.com. Go visit.
It's an excellent website. Joe?
I'm a new fan of strategyandwargaming.com. I can attest that it is good. You can check more of my podcast on Millennial Binge Podcast. And I want to say also, if you want to respond to us with things you want us to talk about or any games you think would be great for us to review, include that too. And our critical move stuff. And that's all I got.
Absolutely. Well, thanks very much. Be sure to join us next week, where we will be talking about the strategy games that made us with our friend Shane, who I'm sure has had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Thanks, everyone. Take it easy. Goodbye.